Good morning, my friends. Today is Sunday, June 23, and what better subject for us to consider today than our resurrection? In the chapter of the day, 1 Corinthians 15, every person who has ever lived faces several fundamental questions in life, including, where did I come from? Who created me? Who or what keeps me alive, especially when I'm sleeping? What is death, and what will happen to me as I die? Is there life after death? If so, what and where? In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks God's truthful answers, the uniqueness of Christianity, to the people of Corinth, where there was so much religious diversity and spiritual confusion. It's an important chapter for our world today. Verses 1 to 4 give us the core elements of the Christian faith, by which we are saved from our sin condemnation as we trust fully in Jesus. Of course, we know there's much more, but Christianity is unique in claiming that God came to earth in the person of Jesus. He died on the cross in atonement death for your sin and mine. He was buried and remained in the tomb an extended time to prove he was truly dead. And on the third day, he was raised to life and was seen alive over a period of 40 days by many people, including all the apostles. Paul is an eyewitness. He met the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. No other faith system or religion in the world can make these claims. Do you see the little phrase, according to the scriptures? Paul is reminding Corinthian Christians that Jesus and these unique events were predicted by many Old Testament scripture prophecies, but he's also saying the New Testament was at that time being written, which gives eyewitness affirmation of these events. From verse 12 to the end of the chapter, Paul deals with one major topic which was greatly fascinating those hearing the gospel from him in places so many religions gave no hope beyond the grave. Paul gives great detail regarding life after death for the Christian person. So let's look closely. First, notice, all questions about life after death are answered through Jesus. He rose from the dead and reigns victoriously in heaven, so he has all authority over life and death. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, he could not be our Savior. A dead Savior can't save anyone from death. Our life after death is dependent upon the truth that he is alive, which is why it was so important Jesus was seen repeatedly by many people after his resurrection and visibly seen returning back to heaven. Paul boldly writes, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." Verses 14 to 19. Could it be any clearer, any bolder? Everything about our salvation and life after death hinges on the truth of Jesus Christ's personal resurrection. He is Lord over everything after death. Notice, please, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. What do you see as the key components of what Paul is clarifying here? First, you see all, every human being will die, and it's because the first man, Adam, sinned and received God's judgment of death on him and all of his descendants. That leaves no exceptions in the human race. Second, Jesus Christ is uniquely raised as the first fruits of those who have died. It means what Jesus experienced in his resurrection, every other person who dies will experience. Every person who has ever lived will live again for all of eternity, but not in the same place. You know what separates one group from the other, right? You know about heaven and hell. Third, do you see when those who have trusted in Jesus will receive this glorious resurrection? When he comes, those who belong to him, Paul writes. Remember, we studied that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 back on June 3rd. Christians will be resurrected when Jesus returns to gather up his church, the people of God, and we will spend eternity forever with Jesus in his presence. Now, please take note, there will be two resurrections. The first is only for those who have, as Paul says, fallen asleep in Christ. The second resurrection is for everyone else who is dead, but died without Christ, and you'll find that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. That second resurrection takes place just in time for the great judgment, at which time those who have rejected Jesus will receive their eternal destiny and join Satan and his demons in hell forever in eternal living torment. Beginning in verse 35, do you see Paul explains our resurrection and the bodies we will have at that time? Look closely at Paul's clear explanation that our bodies have been designed uniquely, remarkable from everything else that God made, but they're destined for life here on planet Earth. As you know, as wonderful as our bodies are, they aren't perfect. We age every day, and many of us are experiencing the living decay of aging. Our bodies don't do well underwater for long periods of time. We need air. We don't do well in very cold temperatures without some warmth, or very hot temperatures without some cool. Our bodies need water, often, and food. But our resurrected bodies, my friends, will have none of those restrictions. Paul writes, "As was the earthly man Adam, so are those who are of the earth. As is the man from heaven, Jesus, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born in the likeness of earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." Verse 48 and 49. Do you see it, my friends? We can live with the expectation that our resurrected bodies will be like that of Jesus's resurrected body. Now, please notice in verse 50 to 53, Paul re-explains the remarkable event of the rapture and transformation moment, which we studied in 1 Thessalonians 4. "Listen," he says, "I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed." Do you see, Paul goes on to describe that when this happens, death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm," Paul writes. "Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Can't you see Paul, a big smile on his face, arms lifted high, face looking upward to Jesus in celebration, in thanksgiving, in hope for a certain future found only in Jesus, but available to every living human being on earth as they hear the gospel? Oh, my friends, may I urge you to take a moment after you read 1 Corinthians 15 and turn back and read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 again, and then just stop and imagine. We've all heard the song, "I Can Only Imagine." Why not do that right now? Imagine you in that experience with Jesus, in the resurrection, and just spend some time thanking Jesus. Oh, Jesus, how we thank you and praise you for the truth of 1 Corinthians 15 that is only possible because of you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.